Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndySgirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
I don't need to adopt a bird to know that I hate to tweet.
You may be about the mess, but I'm all about the money.
Oh, yeah. makes two of us. If anybody finds some, please slide it to my DMs. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It is episode 170. Lord help us. I know. Wow. Wow is what's up. And speaking of wow, I am so excited to be joined by a new co-host on the People's Quarantine Style Couch, none other than news and entertainment journalist, pop culture expert, and the king of YouTube. It's Mr. Richie Sky. Richie Sky,
how are you? I'm great. How are you?
Good. Welcome to Andy's Girls. I have to tell you, people have been sending me your vids since I don't even know how far back. You are an OG of the YT, so I am so appreciative that someone who just casually has 100,000 subscribers plus on YouTube, no big deal. Like, no prop, just like a young, like, emerging talent with his 100K plus subscribers, you guys, subscribers. I'm so appreciative that we are talking today. How are you doing? You're recording in Miami.
Yes, I am in Miami. The weather is a little up and down today. I'm good, though. I'm excited to be here. And I'm excited that Potomac is back. Beverly Hills is still on. Real Housewives of New York is still on. It's kind of like an extravaganza right now. So I'm really excited.
I mean, so am I. And I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, which is how many of us were devastated when they pushed back Potomac. Potomac filmed essentially 8 years ago. It was a different time. the premiere for it itself was going to be further back from when they actually recorded, if that makes sense. Like, there was definitely a gap between the original premiere date and when they finished recording. Then they pushed it back. It was a pandemic for my heart and soul. It was a Potomac pandemic. Then I realized, wait a second, there's going to be a period of time in which Potomac is the only franchise on air. So there is now no excuse for Bravoholics to not watch, because eventually, sorry guys, New York's going to be gone, Beverly Hills is going to be gone, and the best franchise on TV is going to be the only one standing and currently airing. And God forbid we have a second wave, who better to make us feel safe and secure than Karen Huger's confessional looks?
Oh my God.
Giselle, just every moment of the day, whatever Candace is attempting every Sunday night, like, it's going to be fantastic. So I just have to say, shout out to Bravo. I was one of those people who was like, no, I need it now. And now I realize distance makes the heart grow fonder. And also, you're right. This is exactly super, super smart. What were your thoughts when you heard that, you know, the timing was going to shift?
Initially, I was disappointed, but then I kind of thought about it and I was like, you know what? This probably makes the most sense, because like you said, there's going to come a period of time, because a lot of these shows could not film for a while there. So it was like the only other thing that was in the can already was Salt Lake City. So we don't have any real frame of reference for Salt Lake City. So we don't know
we don't know.
Are we going to get excited about it? I mean, I don't know. I've been stalking all the ladies' Instagram pages. They look exciting, but will they bring it? I don't know. So for me, it's like, Potomac was going to have to get pushed back. It was going to have to be the sacrificial lamb in order for us to have some type of Housewives content in the fall.
What do you think about Salt Lake City as the choice for the newest franchise to come?
So initially, I was kind of like, what? Really? But
yeah.
But I've always wanted to go to Sundance. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I have been like dreaming of going to Sundance like forever, right? And so I was thinking to myself, this could be interesting. And I think it's a place that not many people know much about. So maybe the general public, I would say. No, I never really hear of anybody saying, oh, what are you going on vacation? Salt Lake City. Nobody says that, right? So I was thinking, like, maybe it's gonna be like Potomac and be a hidden gem because even I used to live in DC, had no idea where Potomac was.
No idea. No idea.
None.
No idea.
And then when I went, I actually went last December because one of my best friends is best friends with Monique. And so when I went there, then I was like,
Oh.
it really is a little town full of compounds and mansions. And, I was just like, this
Really?
exists here? Like, wow, it's crazy.
And how far outside of DC is Potomac?
Honestly, it felt like it was about, I guess, looking at it from the city center, okay? Like, not the outskirts, but probably from the city center, maybe like 30 or so minutes away.
Okay, so
Even,
pretty close.
it's pretty close, yeah. I mean, it's kind of just on the periphery of the city, really, honestly.
Wow. I mean, I agree with you. My thought was, I mean, I thought a lot of people were talking about Chicago. I was the only one talking about Boston, but I was hyping Boston in my mind when they said that we were going to announce something. Then I was thinking maybe like Houston, because we have Dallas, but we need maybe some oil money, whatever. And when they announced Salt Lake City, there was a moment where I thought, huh, that's a choice I hadn't considered. Like, I thought maybe another place in California or maybe like Connecticut. And then I started thinking about it, and I had the same feeling that you're expressing, which is, listen, they announced Potomac, and I thought, Potomac? But they were right. And I feel like with this, maybe we just need to trust the gods at Bravo, who created, as one of the newer franchises, to me, the single best franchise on TV, not just of the current franchises airing right now, but the best franchise of the franchises available. So I'm thinking, and also from what I've heard about Salt Lake City, there's like pockets of like huge wealth, like old money wealth, or just, I don't know what kind of wealth,
And
Mormon
that's,
wealth.
yeah, and that's what I'm interested in seeing. I feel like what I love is that they offer the opportunity to discover something that we haven't seen before. Because technically, we've seen a little bit of Chicago in different things, you know what I'm saying? And even with like, Houston, they try to marry to medicine Houston, that didn't really work, So I
It
feel
did
like
not work.
what they maybe are attempting to do is kind of take it back to the roots of Housewives, back with OC. Because think about it. I mean, the obvious choice would have been to start in Beverly Hills, right? Looking from the frame point of, well, from the standpoint of where we look at it now, like where Housewives is now, that's the obvious choice. But the better choice is probably a city where we don't really know a lot about it, but there's a lot of money, there's a lot of, big personalities. And I sometimes feel like, sometimes when the bigger cities get on there, like with Beverly Hills, everyone is so image conscious that they don't let their guard down enough to really be themselves. And I think that's what
Totally.
happens sometimes when you get a bigger city now.
So what have your experiences been like watching Beverly Hills this season? What are your thoughts on this whole Brandy, Denise, Michigas? What have you heard? What are the streets? How are the streets talking? The streets are talking. I can't even Giselle right now, you guys. We're doing a bonus episode. It's Wednesday morning. The streets are talking. Let's try that again. Apologies to Giselle. The streets are talking. What are they saying in Beverly Hills? What have you heard? What are your
Well,
thoughts?
the word on the street, well, literally my thoughts are this. Okay, I was initially intrigued by the story, okay, when it first came out, way back when it was actually happening. Like, I think in December, I think we were starting to hear, exactly, okay, something's going down with Denise and Brandy. What is it? And so I almost feel like we got so much information in the lead up to it, and we were all kind of forced to speculate that now that the story is kind of unfolding, I'm kind of looking at Brandy with more of a side eye than I am Denise, because right now I'm still team Denise, because I kind of feel like the ladies have just chosen her as their next target. They don't have an LVP, they don't have a Camille per se. So I feel like what they did was they honed in on some things that Denise did from last season that may have come, that may be a little bit contradictory to how she's portraying, wanting to portray herself this season. And I think too, there's this thing with Denise where I think being an actress, she's coming into this thinking, oh, this is something that's not supposed to be happening. Bravo, bravo, mm-hmm. bravo, let me stop it. Because as an actress,
right.
she can probably do that, right? So I think if anything, the biggest thing with Denise is ignorance to how reality TV actually works. And a simple conversation with her and Rena, since they're supposed to be close friends, where Rena could have said to her, listen, I understand that you might want to protect your girls, but at the end of the day, they're probably already seen some of the things that you've already said. So it's okay for you to be yourself. And you also have to understand that this is what we're here for you to share your story versus coming at her the way that they all have. And I think that conversation would have been, if she had had it with her earlier on, I think that it would have worked out better for everyone. And now that this whole Brandy situation has come up, I'm having a hard time, A, trusting Brandy, because just in the episode before, she's slapping Denise on the butt. She is, you know, talking about having a throuple with her and Aaron. And now the next day she drives by, she does a drive by Kyle's house. Surprising, you know, unannounced, right?
Yes.
Unannounced.
Use those quotes. Use
with
those
her
quotes.
With her mall ponytail. And she's like, you know, doggone near in tears, making it seem as though almost like Denise violated her in some way, shape, or form. And I was just like, this from someone who claims to be, again, now we can use Brandy's past against her the same way that they're using Denise's, for someone who has claimed to be so openly A, bisexual, B, free, okay, and C, unfiltered, it's shocking to me that she feels so upset that Denise has basically perhaps wanted to forget about their doing the nasty.
I mean, this is why it's just such a difficult kind of even plot to have, because Brandy has raised the question of consent, and regardless of how she's expressed herself sexually and communicated in the past, if she didn't feel like she was giving consent in the moment, that's a problem. And the problem for me about how this situation is playing out is A, nobody picked up what Brandy was saying except for us, the viewers. Like, Brandy was pretty loudly saying, I was not giving consent or I was uncomfortable with the situation, but nobody's addressing it. Everybody's making jokes. Rena is on social media saying very strange, queer shaming-esque, like, very weird stuff, making this all into, like, some sort of punchline. And Brandy herself is communicating online in a way where it seems like everybody's forgotten what she was actually saying in that moment. But because we just saw it a week or two ago, that's, for me, all I'm thinking about. So they're having this conversation. Rena is, like, losing her mind, laughing in the van. Teddy and Kyle have picked this up and fucking run with it. And I'm just thinking, like, it feels weird to me, A, because I don't know if Denise has ever, whomever Denise decides to have a relationship is up to Denise, but if Denise herself isn't openly bisexual or discussing that, and it's, like, brought to the table on camera, that's something that I've been struggling to understand, because I'm thinking, like, so it's not only that you're saying she may or may not have potentially cheated on her spouse if it wasn't an open relationship. You're also saying you're revealing a part of Denise that, regardless of whether or not she's talked about happy endings or whatever else, she hasn't openly communicated to us, the viewers. Like, you're taking away that power from her. It just felt really complicated.
So can I tell you something? Please. As I'm so glad I'm having this conversation with you as a woman, because I think as a guy, I don't even tend to always look at, is Brandy a victim in this situation? is she a victim of being taken advantage of by another woman? And I think sometimes for a guy, and just, I'm just being real, it's hard to see.
No, I
that.
Love that you are.
It's
so harder hard
to see it, right? So you are opening my eyes in this conversation to even that aspect of it. Not to mention the other part of it, which is Denise has never given consent to allowing someone else to tell her story about whether she's exactly. bisexual or not. Those are two bigger issues that I think that nobody is really focusing on or addressing, because we're so used to Brandy sort of sensationalizing everything that she has done in the past with regards to the show that we're not looking at those mm-hmm. fine little details of two things that are very wrong.
Right. I appreciate that. I think a lot of viewers who are male, regardless of whether or not they're members of the LGBT community, are LGBTQ community. Can you tell? I like literally this morning is kicking my ass. Regardless, there are a lot of really important conversations that are happening where obviously this is a question about sexuality and sexual preferences, and so many people are on a spectrum, but it's also about a unique perspective that a lot of women share, where we've been in a lot of situations, regardless of whether or not our partner is male or female, where there has been, for many of us, myself included, like awkward moments or awkward experiences where questions about consent are raised. So on one hand, it's great that we're talking about this, because I know I myself have learned so much about myself and about people by talking about housewives and by being emotionally vulnerable to like understanding, wow, like let me shift my perspective. On the other hand, I'm just so uncomfortable with the way some housewives have decided to make a joke of this. And I really think primarily it's Lisa Rinna who's just showing some true colors that are really, really dark and ugly. And I'm just thinking, Richie Sky, like, when is she going to get her comeuppance? Do you see that happening? She's like flying high right now on I'm the queen. I'm the funniest. This is what you guys want from me. You hate it when I'm quiet. And I'm thinking like, no, we hate when you don't participate. But when you're the full out villain of this season, like when is someone going to call that out?
I don't honestly, I'm hoping maybe something happens at the reunion, because, you know, mm-hmm. she has been gone on record of saying the reunion was BS, right? So, mm-hmm. and that's because Brandy wasn't allowed to speak. And I'm like, why is she so invested in this? Especially mm-hmm. if, you know, she and Denise were such good friends. I think that's the problem I'm having with this whole situation. It's kind of like, are you really willing to just really toss away a friendship over this type of drama for television? And it just, to me, I feel like you're right. We're starting to see a lot more of her true colors, because I think she's almost relishing in this new role, so to speak.
Yeah, she's relishing quite a bit. And that is what is so gross to me. And when you talk about the reunion, that's such a good point, because I've been thinking like, okay, we need a villain. She's such a good housewife. You know, she's giving us a lot. Even if I don't agree with it, she's bringing it, which I think is great. But who's going to hold her accountable? Garcelle, who understands what's going on, who's new to the table, new to the show. So I think she's been like really smart in how she's communicated with these people. But from what she said to Andy when she was on Watch What Happens with Sutton the other day, she unfollowed Rinna. She wasn't happy with Rinna's behavior. I don't know how strong she comes at the reunion, but my guess is, even putting any like reunion battle aside, it sets up a really interesting dynamic for next season, because I think Garcelle carries with her so much cachet of being obviously who she is and a great casting choice, but also the majority of us are like 100% team Garcelle. I could really see her harnessing that and Rinna being upset by that and setting up some sort of like turf war, maybe started by Denise, started because of Denise, because of fighting about Denise, but then like going off into its own little vibe, which could be great.
I definitely see that happening, but I also think that Bravo is going to have to break up that fivesome, okay? They're going to have to break up that, or Dorit is going to have to draw a fine line, because Dorit, I feel like, is the middle ground right now, and so is Sutton, right? Because when they were at that table, let me tell you something. I've liked Sutton since the moment she stepped onto the screen, because I felt like she probably was a better, in the beginning, I felt like she might have been a better fit for New York, just given her kind of zaniness and really like in your face sort of like dialogue and things that she said. But I really loved her moment where she pointed out to Teddy that you didn't have to say any of this in public. She's like, I knew about this. In her confessional, she says this. Right. I knew about this, but I would never say it. And it, she actually said to her, it feels like you're saying this out of spite at this point in time, because that did not have to be a part of the conversation. Even though Brandy had brought it out there, that still was something that should have been left off of that dinner table. And I feel like Dorit's going to have to also step up and start really speaking her mind, because she's been in this position with Lisa Rinna and the rest of the ladies. So she should know better than anyone not to jump onto this bandwagon. So I appreciate, I appreciated her even shutting down, like she literally shut down Kyle. I was so, and I love Kyle. I actually love Kyle. You know what I mean?
Actually, I love Kyle too. I love Kyle too.
But I
felt
like
she's a great beta. She's a great beta.
I felt like, you know, she needed to be closed down at that moment.
Do you miss Lisa Vanderpump at all? Or are you cool? Are you like, I'm good?
So, contrary to a lot of people, I've been a Lisa Vanderpump fan since day one, right? I understand. I understood, right?
Yeah.
I understood, though, Lisa Vanderpump's role on the show. Especially as things kind of progressed season after season. Like, okay, obviously she's in the background pulling the strings and she doesn't really, she kind of stays clean. She reminds, and I just had this conversation yesterday, but she reminds me of, it's kind of what Giselle is doing on Real Housewives of Potomac right now, right? But Giselle is a little bit more friendly and free and open about it. She's not covert at all, okay? Lisa Vanderpump was very, I'm going to orchestrate this behind the scenes and I will never admit to shifting the chessboard, right? So do I miss her? Actually, no, I don't. Oddly, I loved her, but I don't miss her. Do you miss her?
I couldn't miss her less. I also feel like it's sort of funny to me, even though I do love Kyle on the show, that like Kyle is doing her best LVP impersonation, which actually shows you how hard it was for LVP to be so good for so many seasons before she was called out, because the level of like, and I don't actually mean this as an insult, I mean this as a compliment, the level of manipulation to have actual friendships with these women and be like, you know what would be great if you talked about this on camera. The way that you would have to be, and to be that talented for so long that it takes years for people to understand that they've been manipulated themselves, like, that's a pretty excellent top-tier housewife. That being said, it was done when she when you leave the show, when you quit in that way, like the Adrian Maloof of it all, your last, you know, act as a housewife is not showing up. Like, it's done, and it's weird to me that they're giving her Vanderpump dogs, because I'm like, wait, we're punishing her for this? And also, Pump is kind of a burning garbage fire at this point, so like, I don't. And also, I guess there was another class action file this week.
I just read that
stuff of Sarah. So there's a lot going on there. And also, Crazy Days and Nights, did a blind about like which housewife whose name is Shmelisa Schmanderpump is going to be declaring bankruptcy soon because her empire is a house of cards. And then they sometimes reveal the blind, and they revealed it. And it was like, the blind was essentially like, it's solved. She's poor. Like, it was just, I don't know what's going to happen with Lisa. Obviously her business is based on entertainment, restaurant, you know, like if you can't dine together safely, obviously, but it sounds like this has been cratering, or maybe not 100 since well before the pandemic, which is just kind of like revealing a lot of maybe that stuff wasn't necessarily as it appeared. So I feel like she was one of the best housewives that's ever existed. She's a problematic person, which makes her an even better housewife. I don't know what to say about Pump, because now she's in this strange, like, grandparent role weirdness stuff with some like sexual tension with some of the staffers. That makes me feel makes me feel a lot. And half the cast is gone. So like, I don't know what the future holds for her, but I do know in the short term, like, I don't necessarily need to see her watching someone wash a dog, you know, like it's just going to be an extension of her PR campaign.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
I'm good. And she came out with a podcast this week, or she announced one where she's going to talk about things that matter, like puppies and rosé. In this climate, we need Lisa talking about entertaining from our quarantine. That's what the people want.
I'm really interested to hear how that goes. And it may rely heavily on a guest host or a guest.
Maybe that lame pony that she gave up in Ohio can come on for a couple episodes. I mean, Vicky has a show. Like, anything's possible. But
you know, Vicky,
I don't feel great about it.
I actually, Vicky amuses me. Vicky and her antics, yes. they have amused me since I first started watching the franchise. I'm like, she can handle a podcast, because Vicky just has a lot to say. Now, yes. It's not all good. But
no,
that's what makes it's it something. Fun, right?
Right.
So I don't know about Lisa, because I feel like she is good for one-liners, and that's probably it.
Yeah, and she's not emotionally vulnerable. Now, Vicky, who's obviously like one of the most problematic housewives, is very vulnerable. Whether or not it's real is another question.
Right.
She's willing to be like emotional, emotive, whatever else. Lisa has done a very good, very successful job of showing one specific side to herself, which, as you've said, is heavily influenced by an edit. So how that would work in a podcast form where it's really hard not to reveal yourself when you don't have any other, like, there's no, like, fog machine, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, especially if it's audio only. I don't know if she'll be doing video as well. But you have to be able to engage with someone and talk about yourself. And maybe it really is like a Martha Stewart style thing where it's like, this is, look at me. But she's not Martha Stewart. Like, Martha Stewart is skill. Like, she has a skill set.
Martha Stewart has gone to jail at this point. Okay,
yeah.
So there's that. That also, I feel like, opened her up a lot more and made her more accessible to a lot of people, whereas Lisa Vanderpump still remains somewhat not accessible in terms of her emotions, what she's thinking, what she's really feeling. And I always say this about people when they get a podcast, especially famous people. It doesn't always work out well for them, because what happens is they are no longer reduced to an edit. And then when people talk ad nauseum, like when they just have a platform to just talk, they reveal a lot about themselves. And a lot of it is not always good. So they have to be prepared to take the heat, which is why the podcast that I'm really interested in is Bethany's, because I feel like that is going to be a good spot for her. But I feel like it's also going to be controversial as well. But I feel like she can handle it and she'll welcome it.
I completely agree with you, and I think it'll be a lot more successful than her talk show, which, again, you have to be warm to have a talk show. You have to be able to show empathy, like not just feel it, but actually show it and be engaging and curious enough in people to have a segment where if you're only given like 3 or 4 minutes, you can really like cut to the meat in very, very limited time. And I feel like a podcast that she's in control of, she doesn't have to deal with all the other production elements. She has a focus, I think, on business and talking to successful entrepreneurs and talking about their challenges is super, super smart. But I do want to get to one point that you just made, which I think is really interesting, about how helpful an edit can be to a housewife who may not realize that edit was really key until too late. And I'm thinking about Nene, who has said an awful lot in Instagram Lives and other stories, has maybe said a lot about the network, except I'm not quite sure, in thinly veiled Twitter attacks, and is either the new star of like E and NBC Universal, or maybe got an exit package for some sort of like swan song Bravo farewell. What have you heard? What are you talking about in relation to Nene? What's the dynamic that you're seeing play out? What's the reality of what's going on?
The reality for me is it's never good to talk about your employer, okay? Like, that's number one. Like, to go public about, and regardless of whether or not she's tagging Bravo or not, the whole thing is everybody knows who she's referring to. And with everything that she's done at this point, I mean, if I'm the employer, I'm not bringing you back, okay? You're going to get out of here, and we're going to show you the door. But that's just me and how I would operate as an employer, right? But contracts make that a little bit more difficult, right? So from what I hear, this is just the word on the streets, in my Giselle speak, is that she was offered 8 episodes, right? She would still make her money, but she was only offered 8 episodes with the option that if they wanted to include her in more, okay? And so because of that, she's refusing to sign on the dotted line because she's saying now that she's waiting on the network. So I'm assuming that there was a counter offer on her part and she's waiting on them to sort of make a decision whether or not she's coming back. But from what I know is that, you know, Candy's already started filming. Kenya had to self-quarantine because she was in New York. Portia had to quarantine as well. So then the only other person they could possibly gotten would have been Drew Sidora, which is, you know, a new housewife altogether, and potentially LaToya Ali, LaToya Forever on YouTube, right? So nobody has done anything all cast yet, so it's going to be interesting to see. She technically still has time, but to be quite honest with you, I would, if I were her, I would just move on. I would just move on. Because if you're not going to take the deal for the 8, and honestly, listen, as I said in my tagline, I'm not about the mess, I'm all about the money. So I would take the 8 episodes. I would do those 8 episodes and I would close out this show how I wanted to do it. Bottom line, because I feel like you take that money, invest it someplace else into a new platform, develop some new show ideas and create your own sort of thing. She's at this point where she can do that now. And so I just feel like it's time to probably just let it go. And I understand she may not want to because she's a mainstay on the show. And I love Nene. I love her. But I just feel like it's turned toxic for her.
And I think in many ways it's turned toxic for us. Like, she's quasi calling out Andy, but not directly. And I wish she'd sort of choose a lane, because right now I'm thinking, like, what is it that you are trying to do? Are you trying to say that you've been mistreated, and mistreated how? Are you being mistreated because you want to leave the show, but you signed something and they won't let you out of it? That doesn't appear to be the case. Do you feel like you've been mistreated because you want to be back full time and that's not what they're offering? I guess that's possible, but she's behaved on camera in such a way where she doesn't really want to be there anymore. So why are you fighting so hard to stay? Because what other reason could there be? Either you sign up for this in some sort of fashion. From what you're saying, it's not even that she would be considered like a friend of or part-time housewife. It sounds like she would be a full-time housewife who leaves the show. You know, like, she would get her 8 episodes. We'd figure out what's going on with like her and Greg or her and everybody else. And you know, she's saying weird things about Portia right now on social, where I'm like, you don't really need to try to bury your friend who, P.S., is like essentially an icon for all of us. So don't even try to go there. But it just feels like what she's doing is trying to hold on to both worlds and both ideas, which I would think kind of destroy any option. And also, she's moving allegedly into a new show with, I think, Brad Goreski, mm-hmm. or a pilot or something. But it's on E! It's a part of NBC Universal. So, like, if you're talking about Bravo, but you're not actually really saying anything specific, you're just intimating a lot, I would think that would affect your relationship with that other extension. I don't know how networks work. I don't know how, when it's like a parent company or anything like that. But if I was someone at E, I would be thinking, like, is this what she's going to do to us if this show isn't a success? Because she's creating a narrative that to me is like super, super complicated. And I don't know what it's based in. Right. So if it's not based in actual fact, it's just based in like threatening tweets and shout outs to Lisa Bloom, who herself isn't exactly God's gift to like ethics, shall we say. I don't really know what that's going to get her, except for people kind of just moving on before she gets to decide.
And I almost feel like that's the place where we all are, is okay, like, girl, how many, like, what, either A, you're going to say what you need to say and be specific about it, okay, or B, don't say anything. I mean, just having worked in, I guess, the industry, it would, for me, be unheard of to do something like this. Like, because not only does that possibly tarnish your reputation with the company that you're working with now, or the Bravo aspect of it, which is under NBC Universal, but it would also sort of taint any dealings that you had with the network with E as well, because they all fall under the same mm-hmm. umbrella. So to me, it's like, if you're talking about Bravo, you're essentially talking about NBC Universal. So at the end of the day, it's like, how much sense does this make? Because now you're ruining one bag over here, but now you're also potentially ruining another. And it's making you look like a liability who is going off the rails.
I couldn't agree with you more. So listen, this is a specific special Potomac premiere episode. And aside from me bludgeoning Giselle's famous trademark that she said over and over again for years, several times, we need to do a deep dive into RHOP. What are your thoughts? Shout out to Bravo before we even get started for a premiere episode followed by episode 2 released to the public in less than 24 hours. Talk about an embarrassment of riches to get 2 knockout eps back to back. What were your thoughts watching? What are your thoughts on what's to come? What are you thinking?
Well, first off, I was overwhelmed, okay? Because not only mm-hmm. when I do a review of these shows, like, I'm not only doing a review of the show, but I'm taking also all the news surrounding it and putting it in that review mm-hmm. as well. So it's a lot of work, right? So that was overwhelming, because I realized shortly after mm-hmm. I had done the first one, the second one was already out. So I was like, so already my head is exploding, right? So there's yeah. that aspect of it. But the fact of the matter is that both episodes were dynamic. Like, it was the perfect reintroduction to Potomac. We had waited a year, okay? And it was worth every single moment of the wait. And I guess they had extra time to edit, because they literally, I don't know if you noticed this, sometimes when I'm doing my reviews and I'm doing them live, things occur to me. In episode 2, we see that scene with Karen, and we hear her moaning as she's working out with her trainer, okay? Mm-hmm. She goes back into the mm-hmm. kitchen with Ray, who is giving her absolutely no attention. Fast forward to the next scene with Giselle and Monique, where they're having mm-hmm. lunch. Things look like they're going to be going great. But then Giselle outs Monique's secret, okay, about this rumor that Charisse has created about Monique mm-hmm. and her trainer. I did not even mm-hmm. realize it until afterwards that they had juxtaposed those two scenes with the trainers.
Oh my God, I didn't realize that until just now. 100% didn't catch that.
Like, it was like, that's why I was like, oh my God, these editors are brilliant. Yeah, like,
they're genuinely brilliant.
Those little things like that, I feel like were just like, wow. Like, you just could, the picture when Ashley called Candace a hamster face hoe, and she, and the editors pulled up a side-by-side of Candace and a hamster. I was like, I'm literally done.
I feel like Potomac gets it in a way where it's like they're having fun. Like, I just feel like the producers get it. The editors get it. I love the confessionals where you can hear the voice of the producers because I can get a sense of their energy and the fact that they also think some of this is completely insane, but they actually really do want another scoop. I just fucking love it. Like, there's so much love that comes from watching Potomac because, like, many of these women love each other. Many of them 100% do not. But you get the sense that there's still a bond, and I can see that represented on every level. I see that with the editors where it feels like they're constantly trying to, like, one-up the season before in terms of, like, crazy moments. But they're not doing it for the tweets. They're not doing it for the, like, trend of it all, even though, of 100%, Potomac was trending number one, I think, globally the night of the premiere. They're not really doing it for that. I feel like they're doing it because they know the viewers are going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I just have so much respect for Potomac, because I just feel really seen by Potomac. Like, it just feels like, I really do. I'm like, they get me in a way that, like, I haven't even thought about. But, like, I watched that premiere and I actually had anxiety. Like, they, at the end of this episode, you guys, I'm going to have a little clip of a question that I asked Giselle, because Bravo generously invited me to the first ever Zoom screening. So they gave us the screeners from the first two episodes, and I got to ask Giselle a slightly shady question about, like, how have the other housewives treated you guys, and has that changed since you're 100% the number one show? So you guys will get to hear that at the end of this episode, but it gave me anxiety the first time I watched the premiere, because I watched it and I was like, this is so good. Like, it's like, it makes me nervous. Like, I'm watching it, I'm like, I'm watching it and I'm like saying to myself the entire time, like, you understand how good this is. You understand how good this is. And then I watched the second episode and I was like, it's also very good. Just the energy is crazy. And also, we know this season, obviously, because the beginning of the episode of the season premiere was like, I kept thinking of it as like a horror show, like World War P, where it's like you see the wreckage of whatever is about to go down. There is like some sort of global incident. And we know that there's going to be some sort of altercation. And we know that likely the altercation is in fact going to be really, really bad. It's going to be, however long it'll last, it'll be probably pretty violent. But the important thing to understand is that is one moment. These women are giving you about 30 every episode. So I don't want everybody to lose focus on, like, the what happens 7 weeks from now. Because in those 7 weeks, there are literally hundreds of scenes and relationships and conversations that are probably way more important and valuable than whatever the fuck physical fight that we actually, like, get to see.
Yeah.
You know?
The funny thing about it is seeing everything leading up to the fight. Because I feel like all of these things, mm-hmm. these twists and turns are really important. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I feel like they're kind of like weaving this whole like story about what happened and how it happened. And oh, it involves Charisse and we didn't know this before. And mm-hmm. now Charisse is showing up and there's this rumor about this trainer and more, and we're just seeing it. Not to mention, again, now we have Wendy and Karen going at it on Twitter. And it's just like out of nowhere. It's like a good housewife scene to me, like a good dinner scene. It always has one main fight, but like two or three other little things that happen off to the side where you're like, how did they get started? And that's mm-hmm. what they were giving us on Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful. And also Wendy, I mean, perfect addition. Is there anything more we would need?
She is a perfect addition. I do know of one other person that was testing that would have been really, really, really good.
Do we know who that is? I mean, you know who that is. I don't know who that is.
I know. I don't know if she would be angry that if I said it, but she would have been really good as well.
Okay.
I think the season would have turned out differently if she had made it.
Wow. Is it someone that we will see make an appearance at any point, or do you think maybe not this season, but there's potential down the line?
I think we'll see. We'll see. I think we'll see her.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I'm dangling a little carrot that I'm immediately chomping that super quick. So listen, you brought up Charisse. What's going on with Charisse? Why is she saying this stuff about Monique? Is it based on any kind of reality? Is she saying it because she's pissed Monique has the show she used to be on full time? Like, what's going on? What's the dynamic?
I mean, from everything that I've heard up to this point, I mean, it seems as though, and I hate to say this about Charisse because we actually share the same birthday, July 16th.
Oh, happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. But my thing is, I feel like maybe because, you know, at the core of Potomac when it first started, I felt like it was kind of built around her and the people that she knew. So I feel like there's some sort of sense of I should still be there, right? And from what I can see, it looks as though Monique is trying her hardest to avoid to have any contact with Charisse. And it seems as though Charisse is being brought in specifically to have some sort of dialogue or interaction with Monique, and Monique's not giving it to her, right? We'll see how that works out, I guess, as time goes on, because I'm always curious about that. My belief is that you should never leave a scene, because we'll see Charisse come into Ashley Darby's sip and see next week, and we see Monique leave. But I get it in terms of real life, because in real life, I would never be around someone that I don't like, right? But in terms of Housewives, it's kind of like when you leave the scene, you allow them to tell a story. And I just don't want that to happen to her.
Yeah, I think for Monique, she's thinking, I don't want to participate in this. But the reality is, unfortunately, on this kind of show, the second your nemesis walks in, the narrative is going to change regardless of whether or not you're participating. So if you participate, at least you're able to share your perspective and potentially defense. When you leave, that gives that person who you already dislike, who you already hate, like the shit stirring that they're saying about your relationship, the power and opportunity to continue saying whatever the fuck they want to say and potentially make it a whole lot worse.
Or you pull a Ramona and you act like they are not even there. Mm-hmm. As I was watching Ramona do that this season.
Look how well that worked out.
It didn't fan-wise, but in the moment, she was literally... It was just hilarious to watch her completely ignore people that she did not want to talk to all season long. And I'm like, how does she get away with doing that?
Yeah, I don't think she's getting away with it so much now, which has been great. I think that if, you know, NeNe's looking at her own Atlanta-based new beginning, maybe Ramona should take that as an indicator that maybe her time full time on Housewives is coming to an end, because I think I am at capacity. I think I'm good. I think this has been an interesting season in that it includes new episodes, and I like new episodes, and that is my biggest review of New York. That, and I think like Leah's great, and I think they're filming, we're recording this Wednesday morning, I think they're filming the reunion today. So in person, prayers out to anybody that needs to sit within 6 feet of Ramona, because wow. But it hasn't been great. It also, you know, New York was such a, and is still such an all-star franchise. And I've spoken to a lot of people. I used to feel this way where I was like, Potomac is like giving us the most, but my heart belongs. I just feel like for the record, I have to say like New York is my personal number one, certainly at the beginning of Potomac. And then I really need to have a conversation with myself where I was like, and this is well before this season, where I was like, no, Potomac's actually the best franchise out there. It's giving you everything you could ever want and more. It's so funny. It's so smart. It's so quick. The casting is perfect. There's a reason there hasn't been substantial cast changes from season one to season now, because these women are really, really great as a connected team. And there is also a genuine IRL bond with Robin, Giselle, Karen, Charisse. And I just have to kind of, I had to kind of look at myself and be like, okay, New York is there. New York is happening. We'll never forget season three, which I think is just a genuinely historic season for any franchise. But when I look at like what the future is going to be and also what I'm engaging with at the present, to me, there is really, it's just like Potomac stands alone. I just think it rises so much above everything else. And it's also like shifting what a Housewives franchise can be, in the sense that like it's really smart women who are really, really funny. There is genuine conflict in some of these relationships and personalities, essentially anybody in Candace. And, you know, some of the other stuff, there's that tension with Giselle and Karen. Like, the fact that they still argue about who cheated potentially at a cookie bake, I mean, that's the kind of relationship history and, like, dumb fuckery of it all that I look for. So, I mean, like, what more could we want? I just feel like, does New York deserve our attention based on this season? There are elements to discuss, but we just had two fucking essentially cinematic masterpieces released in the over the course of a day. And the fact that there are literally 10 different discussion points that we could each talk about for an hour for each individual episode makes me think that this upcoming season is like truly going to be one for the books. And with that said, I have a question for you, because I feel like it appears that a true theme of this season is going to be how these women are handling and reckoning with their relationships, marriages, whatever else, where they're being a lot more honest and forthright. And, you know, with like Robin and Juan, it used to be, you know, how is this going to survive? What are they going to do? Is, you know, Juan really connected? And now they've turned a point where they're both on the same page and they're willing to both be vocal about how they're on the same page and what that page looks like, which is great. Then we have Karen and Ray, who are struggling, or at least Karen is struggling openly, I think, for the first time. But then there's Giselle and Jamal. And there were rumors that Andy referenced that they were dating at the last reunion, where he was like, is this true? And she said yes. Or is it true what I've heard? And she said yes. Is this real? Is it real? I just want to know. I love her. It won't change anything having to do with anything. I'm just, for her sake, as a close personal imaginary friend of Giselle Bryant, I need to know for myself if this is real.
So Giselle has always been one of my favorites from Potomac. I ask myself that question a lot, because there's a lot of people out there that speculate differently. And there's a lot of chatter about the things that he's doing in Atlanta as well, right? Rumors, I should say. Now, with that being said, I think the most telling thing that we can actually base our opinions or our thoughts on are the fact that her daughters are not on board with this. And they very articulately stated exactly why they're not on board with it. And so in their assessment, I heard the word fake. I heard them say that, you know, he's just doing this to impress you. They feel like something's not right. Those things right there clue me into to there being something awry here. Like something's not right. And so it gives me more of a reason to have a side eye about this whole situation, because I don't want her to fall into the trap of believing that she needs to have a man to be entertaining on this show. Because I don't want to be tricked.
She doesn't.
I don't want to be tricked. I don't want to have the same speculations that people have about Kenya and Mark. I don't want to have those about anybody on the show, right, on my favorite Housewives franchise. I don't want to have that.
And I know that it's so important for folks to show their personal lives. Obviously, that's why Bravo decided Sutton needed to be downgraded, which I totally disagree with based on how often she's used in these episodes because her ex-husband refused permission for her kids to be filmed. But with Giselle, I really don't need it. Like, I don't need, like, if she's dating Sherman, great. If she's not, great. If she is choosing herself to date Jamal, okay, although I need to unpack that, or I need her to unpack that, and I need her to, like, really listen to her kids. I don't know. I've never been married. I don't have kids. I don't know how that dynamic would work, especially when the person that you're dating is your children's father, and they know why the marriage itself initially broke down. She's such a valuable housewife and so gifted at this that I agree with you. I hope that she doesn't feel the pressure to deliver on that level, but I sort of wish that was the case because I don't trust Jamal at all. And I almost, like, wish it was fake because she deserves so much more. So she
exactly.
Was, like, playing the part of this, if we could just get some little, like, wink at some point so that I know that, like, she gets that she deserves so much more than him and her kids are saying the same, that would be great. But I also think, unfortunately for that perspective, if she was doing this for the show, the fact that her kids obviously don't know that makes me think it is in fact real, because I don't think that she would put them through that for, like, a third of her actual plot. You know, it's tough.
That's why I diverted to what the kids say, because I felt like it's just really telling that they feel a certain type of way about it, and they were very vocal and they're on the same page about it, right? You know, it's mm-hmm. It wasn't just one kid. It was all three of them. And they're all girls. And I just felt like there's that, almost like that, there's some type of discernment and intuition that I felt like they would have, particularly because as a woman, as girls, they're looking at their mom to be their role model. You know what I mean? So what are they seeing that they don't want their mom to fall for, and that they don't want to emulate?
Right. I think that's incredibly important. And just relating to one other Potomac relationship, why is Ashley still with Michael? Is that going to remain? And it seems like it likely will, because she said she's interested in, like, baby number two with him. What's going on? Why is that happening?
I think, honestly,
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I think she's ride or die with this situation. We do know that they had some sort of little contract going, so I guess we will just have to chalk it up to that. And it
you
seems
mean
as though
is that.
Yeah, like they had some, okay. There was some agreement that she had mm-hmm. to fulfill that I thought was very odd, but it seems
like
as though
the timing of the marriage,
the timing of the marriage and having a kid, or there was something about that, and I cannot remember the specifics about it, but
it seems
as though she is in it to win it, regardless of whatever happens. And I have to say, sometimes I feel like, you know, when you look at marriages, even we can look at the Will and Jada situation as well. When you encounter these types of things, I feel like every marriage is going to be tested. You know, when people, that's the reality of marriage, mm-hmm. right? They may be tested in different ways and to different degrees, but I feel like the real core of a good marriage is your ability to withstand the things that come at you. And to be quite honest with you, the way she is standing by this man, in spite of all evidence to the contrary, is just mm-hmm. unbelievable to me. So if she is willing to stand by him regardless of all of his indiscretions, and I feel like more, we're going to, there has not been a season where there has not been a Michael storyline.
I know.
I don't think she's going anywhere. Especially now that she has a kid.
I just hope for her sake that if she chooses to stand with him, she isn't also sacrificing like a part of herself and who she is at the core. Because similar to Giselle, I just hope they're aware of how amazing they are and how deserving they are. And, you know, I can't speak to Jamal really because I haven't seen him on Potomac or on Potomac enough. But with Ashley and Michael, I'm just like, you know, when someone shows you, it's the whole Maya of it all. When someone shows you who they are, believe them and believe them the first time. Like, this is season 5. This is going to be the 5th time, Ashley. He's showing you who he is. So if you're okay with that, that's your choice. You get the choice. If you want to stay in that kind of dynamic, just be aware that that is the marriage that you are in.
Yeah.
And one that you're going to show your son. I mean, exactly. One that you're going to show your son. This is how you treat your wife. This is how you treat a partner. Like, this is what they're going to watch on TV 10 or 15 years from now.
Yep.
If not already. So it's something to think about. Speaking of things to think about, Richie Sky, this has been such a delight. I'm obsessed with you. Can you tell the AGs where to find your YouTube channel? How do you follow you online? Like, keeping up with your recaps and news and vids and everything else?
Yeah. So I am on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook at DJ Richie Sky. I typically put out video content at least once per day during the weekday. And if something crazy happens on the weekends, I try to reserve my weekends for my mental sanity, but it's becoming increasingly difficult to stay off the news on the weekends because it's still going all the time. But yeah, at DJ Richie Sky, everything for me, and you guys can follow me there. And yeah. Oh, I also have a small, like, little podcast channel. It's DJ Richie Sky Unfiltered, where it's just a little bit more of a free-flowing conversation. You know, when I want to have a conversation about something, or if I want to have a guest to talk about something, and hopefully, actually, maybe you can come do that one with me. And I love to recap shows on that platform as well, because I can just... My main channel is a little bit more structured and to the point, but the Unfiltered channel is a lot more conversational and it's just more free.
I would love it. It would be a total honor. And speaking of things I would love to take part in with Mr. Richie Sky, can you tell the listeners about your upcoming course, about how Candace's event planner and I can find out how to grow and scale our financial wealth? $22,000 later, she's doing okay.
So what I did was I kept getting questions from a lot of people about how to grow and scale their YouTube page. And so we did what we did in a year, right? So for me, it was like, okay, I love to write. So that's another little hobby of mine. I've always been a writer. So I put together like a little ebook basically detailing everything that I did from start to finish to get to 100,000 subscribers and to make it a full-time income earning activity. So the ebook is there. It's only $16.99 for probably until like the next 2 weeks. And then the course will be available in 2 weeks.
Oh my God, that's incredible. Guys, join me. Let's make some cash that you guys are going to give me so I can buy a new dress. couple of housekeeping notes. First ever Andy's Girls Zoom Turtle Time Kiki, exclusive to OG of the AG Patreon Patrons. That's going to be this Saturday, August 8th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. RSVP by joining the OG of the AG Patreon level at patreon.com/andysgirls. A link to join is going to be in the show notes for this week's episode. And thanks to all of you who follow Richie and myself on social and shared some fantastic action related to the recently launched Bravoholics Pledge, which is the Bravo Bravo community coming together to support Black Bravoholics, talent, members of production, and fans. I discussed on last week's episode with Damien some social action specific to the podcast Not Skinny But Not Fat and its production company Dear Media, who are currently refusing all of our calls to remove and delete 8 minutes of racist content on episode 67 of Not Skinny But Not Fat. Highly encourage that you guys join with us, share the graphics, follow Richie Sky and myself, and I'll include our social handles in the show notes as well. We've both shared the graphics explaining all of that documentation and why it's so important to hold people in our community accountable for racist behavior, and how we need to normalize talking about race, and how me, as a non-Black Bravoholic, needs to normalize me, a non-Black Bravoholic, talking about race and holding people in our community accountable. We all fuck up to varying levels. What's important is, are you listening to people? Are you changing your behavior? And are you holding yourself accountable? So that's a little homework for you guys after you sign up at DJ Richie Sky for the money-making course that you and I are both going to participate in, along with Candace and Chris, and much more. Richie Sky, this was a total delight. I'm obsessed with you. I can't get enough of you. Thank you for asking me to co-host your YouTube channel with you for the next 12 calendar months. It is a pleasure. I'll see you in about an hour. Can't wait for that to begin. Your subscribers are currently fleeing. You've gone from like 9 million to 4. So apologies. But listen, you're the man who knows about growth. So I can't wait for us to rebuild again.
There you go.
It's a pleasure. I'm obsessed with you. And guys, in order to close this week's app, enjoy a little slightly shady question that I asked Her Holiness Giselle on that recent Potomac screening premiere party. All right, guys, have a great week. Stay safe, stay healthy, wear a mask, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, ladies. I'm Sarah with the Andiest Girls podcast, and I just have to say, being in this Zoom, this room where it happens tonight with so many Bravoholics, the universal answer when you ask a Bravoholic what their favorite franchise is, hands down, is Potomac. Which says a lot. And so I think we're all hopeful and working together to make sure that even more people are introduced to you. And so Giselle, you know, Potomac maybe took a season or so to catch on for a lot of viewers. Have you noticed a difference in how you're perceived by fellow housewives from other franchises? And has that changed as the as your franchise has grown more and more and more popular?
Good question. Rob and I actually talked about this as well. When we first started, we couldn't get another housewife to even blink at us, look at us, turn the corner and wave at us, nothing. And that's not shame. That's just, they were doing their thing and they had been doing their thing for 8 years prior to us coming along. But I think it might have been, I don't know, season two-ish, season three-ish. Robin would have to chime in here. All of a sudden, we just started getting love. And now we do get love. There's nobody that I can reach out to and they're not, you know, hitting me right back up. So any of the housewives that I reach out to, it's immediate love. And it's nice that, and it might have been Andy's baby shower that kind of bonded us, because that was out of control, and y'all would have loved it. I mean, it was just bonkers.
Yeah.
So I think that it's great just to like know that we're all in this sisterhood together, and you know, it feels good.